Moncrief on News Talk.
It's been 20 years since the release of the documentary Super Size Me, when Morgan Spurlock lived on nothing but McDonald's food for a month, and tracked the effect this had upon him. At the time, it prompted a conversation about fast food and menus in general. But 20 years later, there's more fast food than ever. Isabel Fegan is a dietitian. Afternoon, Isabel.
Good afternoon, Sean. How are you doing?
It's arguable that since the time of Super Size Me, things have got worse rather than better.
Yeah, well, I guess, like, you know, looking at kind of what has changed really since then, like you say, things have probably changed, but probably not in the way that we would have hoped. And I think one of the most concerning changes in Irish dietary patterns in recent years really has been this major fundamental shift really in how our food is made and produced, and the dominance of ultra processed foods in the diets now. Like, foods are designed really to be hyper palatable and stimulating, like, repeat purchasing and repeat ingestion as well. And even now, actually, some really interesting research in Ireland, it's estimated that almost half, right, 46% of Irish household foods purchases are actually ultra processed foods. And we know that ultra processed foods has been linked and strongly linked with an increased risk of many chronic diseases like our heart disease and obesity and cancer. And, you know, the prevalence of overweight and obesity in Ireland is quite stark. About 56% of Irish adults are overweight or obese. So, yeah, things haven't trended, I guess, in the right direction after this, you know, and kind of with the insights that we got from this documentary.
And one of the reactions to that now, it wasn't just the documentary, I suppose, but a kind of a burgeoning concern about this area in general, was putting calorie counts when people eat out. How useful do you think that's been?
Yeah, so I guess back in 2012, the Food Safety Authority of Ireland kind of introduced this guideline on, you know, putting calorie counting on the menu. And it wasn't a mandatory thing for restaurants and the food service industry to apply it. But really, in general, actually, the uptake was really poor. Only about 7% of businesses reported displaying the calories on the menu at the time. I guess it's a double-edged sword, I think. Like, you know, you're tackling one part of it and you're kind of looking at the numbers, and we know that excessive calorie intake does lead to overweight and obesity. But at that, you're also not kind of looking at the grander scheme of food. We're kind of looking at one aspect of it, and that's its numbers. It's not given any context to the quality and the types of foods that we're eating. And, like, you know, for example, like, we know that regular nut consumption, like, we know that nuts are generally quite calorie dense and people have tended to steer away from them for that reason. But actually, research has shown us that people who eat nuts more regularly, and that's kind of maybe about two servings a week, a serving being about a handful, are actually 43% less likely to become overweight or obese than those who don't eat nuts at all. So again, even though it's a more calorie dense food that might put up the numbers on a menu, someone might stay away from it, when actually we know the long-term benefits on our health is much more plentiful than just the numbers. And I think the other thing with the numbers is, you know, if we look at it from a side of how triggering that can be for some people. And we're kind of looking at one aspect of public health here. We're looking at overweight and obesity and trying to tackle that with these numbers. But we're not considering maybe the other side of things with people maybe that are developing eating disorders. And between 2022 and 2023, the eating disorder cases doubled here in Ireland. So it's a very, very significant public health concern and something that we do need to look at as well, beyond just overweight and obesity. And seeing numbers on menus can be quite triggering, you know, for people who might be eating out, and it might lead to more restrictive behaviours. So there is benefit, and I guess that thing, you know, some pros and cons to everything. But it's about really kind of understanding the impact that it might have on people in the long term. And really, you know, could something be looked at, whether it be a QR code on a menu, for those who opt in to want to look at the nutritional content of their food? Could they look and see, okay, well, this is the type of food, this is what's in the recipe, this is what's in the meal, kind of having a better understanding of it rather than just the numbers, and more of an opt-in choice kind of element to it rather than it being displayed there. But I guess, there's a benefit to it as well.
Say in that scenario, what information should people be given rather than just a, a blunt, here's how many calories is in the food.
Yeah. Well, I guess giving insight into, you know, where are the calories coming from? So like, what type of fats are in the food? You know, are the fats mainly saturated or trans fats that are in the food? Or are they our healthy unsaturated fats that we get from our nuts, our seeds, our olive oils? You know, what kind of maybe protein sources are we getting in there? Is it a leaner source of protein? Is the protein source largely maybe from red meat? Is there a plant source of protein in there? And the carbohydrate source then as well. Like, what we want to move towards is whole grains. And like, so much research is, you know, really pushing towards that now, the Mediterranean style diet, which is largely based on our whole grains. And that's like, you know, trying to find food, I guess, that once it's put on your plate, it looks pretty similar to how it was harvested or taken out of the ground. So giving an insight into the processing, maybe even that's gone into the food, I guess a lot can be done with it. But just so beyond everything, it's just educating people a little bit more on the types of foods that they're eating, not just the numbers that is right there.
How much education would that require? Because, you know, the everything you've said there, a lot of people might find that quite a large amount of complex information, and they're getting their calculators out to kind of figure out, you know, how bad or good it is for them.
Yeah. And I guess that is the really important thing, is education. And even going from, I guess, the Healthy Ireland Obesity Policy and Action Plan that's in place, you know, that really does kind of look at a top-down, bottom-up approach. And that bottom-up approach is kind of looking at, you know, individual scenarios, like, you know, us as people, our families, everyone that we have around us. And I think a lot of it probably does need to start with educating in school, educating children. But then beyond that, those who want to learn about it now, later in life, that maybe didn't get that opportunity in school, I think it can be really, we can use, I guess, social media, we can use the world that we are living in today to our advantage to educate people. And I think, you know, we're thinking about the access that we have to food on these food ordering apps that we might see out there, kind of maybe seeing the choices that have been pushed on us. How are things been, you know, advertised to us is a really, really important thing. And I think taking away, we can really absolve these industries, and we can absolve the restaurants and fast food industries of a lot of responsibility if we push it back on individuals' willpower and choice. Because really, do we have all this choice that, you know, these food options are kind of enforced on us, and this is what's there in front of us? So it's good to maybe have an understanding of the responsibility from a systemic perspective, really, rather than just focusing in on the individual.
Yeah, and because I suppose that's part of the issue as well, or certainly is my sense of it. If you're at home, you have a clearer sense of what food you're putting on the table, what the portion size is, etc. But we seem to have, particularly perhaps since the pandemic, been eating out more or ordering in more.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you say, actually quite interesting about the foods that we eat at home, because research has shown that frequent consumption of meals prepared away from the home, or, you know, like that we get in from outside of the house, is significantly associated with an increase of all-cause mortality. So like that, we're losing our element of control there. We're not controlling what we're putting into the food, the portion that we're serving. And really, it's, you know, it's about kind of having more foods in the home. And about, maybe is it about a quarter of our calories that we eat on a weekly basis, it tends to be eaten outside of the home. And there has been, you know, a large influx of availability of food around us. And even as of March 24, actually, interestingly enough, about it per 1,000 people in Ireland, there's about 25 fast food restaurants available to us. So like, the availability is increasing. And actually, if we pinpoint that even down to Dublin, it's more than double that. There's about 58 fast food restaurants per 1,000 people. So the availability is there, and it has been pushed on us. And yes, you know, the more food we see, the food that's in front of us, we're going to eat more of it. Yeah. So it's important then, like that, are we having the right options in front of us? Can we look at maybe, you know, developing these apps in a different way, and, you know, the marketing, the techniques? And there was a really cool study, I think, and kind of investigation done in the UK by Oxford University, was involved in it. And they looked at basically developing this kind of fake app, you know, that food ordering app. And what they saw was, by positioning like maybe lower calorie foods first, or restaurants that, you know, had selected their a smaller portion size initially, and displaying calorie labels, actually reduced total calorie intake by about 2 to 15% compared to a control app. And the control app would probably be, you know, quite similar to the apps that we're all familiar with, where there was maybe less, you know, food was kind of positioned at random. So we can have an impact on the food choices. Ultimately, we do see that, but it's such a novel, I guess, you know, thing, these apps and the accessibility to food, that the research is still quite limited in it, and we don't know fully the impact that it might have on us, but we do know it's part of the environment where we make our food choices, and definitely an important area to look at.
Isabel Fegan is a registered dietitian. Isabel, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Sean.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.